And this is Rosa and Sophia, and we will be reading the Bible passage today. Hi, I'm Caitlin, this is Rosa and Sophia, and we will be reading from Luke 18, starting at verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. All of these I've kept since I was a boy," he said.
When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life."
Now we will be reading from chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have ever cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
It could have been worse.
I saw Luca 2 years ago before he was giving his talk, race Julian to eat cold porridge with like two raw cracked eggs in it. So it definitely could have been worse. I think Julian won as well, didn't you? Yeah, no question. So meat pie, good when you compare it. I'd just like to say before I get into it, my highlight of Safari was probably the seniors. I think the seniors led their groups really well. We split up into a few different groups while we were on Safari, and in each group is a leader or two, and I thought the seniors led their teams really well, and I found that super encouraging. And so for those year 12s, this is their last year as youth. Let's give them a round of applause. Before we get into it, let me lead us in prayer, and then we'll take a look at God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for today. Thank you, for all your children here who you love, who have served us this evening. We praise you for Safari, for how for what a joy it was, and how it really was just a taste of heaven. Your people gathered together, And I just pray that you'll be with us tonight. Help us to understand your word and be transformed by it. Amen. One day on my drive home from one of our youth gatherings, I came upon a peculiar situation. I was in Ganalabar, up near the Hornet soccer fields there, and I noticed something in the middle of the road, and it was in the way. See, I wanted to get home, yet standing in the way was a large man with no shirt on. He's clearly had a few drinks. He's sizing me up. He stares my Hilux ute up and down, and he obviously decides he stands a chance. So he proceeds to get in the tackling position. He's scraping his foot along the ground like a bull, and I was stunned by how white his belly was, but also his confidence, or his stupidity maybe. You see, he was too close to me for me to successfully three-point turn around and go the other way before he would run and get to my car. So I had to get past him so I could get home. He was standing in the way of me getting home. You see, today in our passages, we're going to meet two characters, or rather, two characters are going to meet Jesus. And we're going to see that there is something standing in their way, standing between them and Jesus. And we're going to be confronted with the question, is there something standing in the way of us welcoming Jesus into our lives? Is there something standing between you and Jesus, which you're not willing to give up, to move past? In today's story, we're going to learn about the cost of discipleship, the cost of following Jesus as God, and how for some the price is too high. Yet we're also going to see that Jesus is worth it. Is better. And we're going to learn this from meeting the rich young ruler, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and discuss the price. Those are our 3 points, the rich young ruler, Zacchaeus, and the price. Some of you might have been in a conversation with me which goes a little bit like this. Hey, Mum, Jess, Peter, insert name here. I have a very important question to ask you. Then your interest is piqued. You brace yourself for this important question. And then I'll say something along the lines of, what are we having for dinner? Where are we going for dinner tonight? Or do you remember that thing you told me yesterday? What was that again? And then rightfully, you'll look at me in disgust, in disappointment, because I said I had something very important to ask, but what I actually had to say was not important at all. Well, in this first story, we read from chapter 18, from verse 18, we see the exact opposite happen. We see a man come to Jesus, and he doesn't say to Jesus, I have a very important question for you. He walks up to him, no warning, and asks Jesus an important question, arguably the most important, the biggest question ever. Read along with me from chapter 18, verse 18. Check it out. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? No muss, no fuss, no coconuts, but good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But who is this rich young ruler? Who is this guy that we see? Well, it's likely that he was a very well-respected guy and looked up to man. You see, he was wealthy. He was good by the sounds of it. He's the kind of guy who, if you were walking along the street with your grandma and he walked past, she'd say, you see that guy? When you grow up, you've got to be just like him. That is what my grandma sounds like. You see, and Jesus gives us the answer straight out of the gate. He says, no one is good except God alone. You see, we've learnt this week on Safari and some of the talks that we've listened to that we can only be saved from our sin through Jesus, because God is the only one who is good. Jesus is good, but humans, we are sinful. See, Jesus is how this man can have eternal life. However, I wonder if this rich young ruler thinks he deserves eternal life. I reckon he thinks he's a pretty good guy. But Jesus shows us this rich young ruler's heart. And he asks him if he has kept the commandments, the 10 commandments. He doesn't say all 10, he says 5. And he doesn't start from number 1, he starts about halfway down the list. Read along with me from verse 20. "You know the commandments," Jesus said. "You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother." And surprisingly, the rich young ruler can say of those 5 commandments mentioned, "I've upheld them. All these I have kept since I was a boy." And Jesus doesn't even say he's lying. But Jesus does know his heart. He says, "You still lack one thing," in verse 22. Read it with me. "Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Yet the man couldn't do it. He was very wealthy, and for him the price was too high. You can tell from this story that this rich young ruler thinks he's a pretty good guy. The community likely thinks very highly of him, but he is sinful. He needs Jesus to save him. But his money is standing in the way of him welcoming Jesus into his life and following him and being saved. As a result of his sinful heart, he seeks other things instead of God. He seeks what we would call an idol, something we worship as our God, which is not God. And it's convenient that Jesus, in this interaction, doesn't start from the beginning of the commandments. It's also convenient he doesn't say the last one. But do you remember what the boys read out at the start? They read out the start of the 10 commandments, and this is what they started with. "You shall have no other gods before me." You see, I think this rich young ruler did have a different God before God. There was a God in his life, one which was the most important to him, one which he could not give up. His money, his wealth, his money was standing in the way of him welcoming Jesus into his life and following him. In fact, his money, because of his sin, was standing in the way of him having eternal life. That's how this conversation started. Do you remember what he said? "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved?" You see, he needs saving from his sin. And Jesus wants to save him. That's why he says, "Follow me," because he knows that he can save him. But the rich young ruler couldn't do it. Now, firstly, I think this shows us the dangers of money or wealth. See, Jesus says in verse 24, check it out with me, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Money, or the greed for money, it's a very common idol or god which fills our hearts. We depend on it. We make sacrifices for it, hoping that it will protect, provide, and please us. Those who don't have it want it. Those who have it never have enough. See, money can stand in the way of people following Jesus as God, as we see here. See, Jesus is showing us the danger which wealth and the greed for money can pose to humans. You see, humans have sinful hearts which lust after worldly things. But money, unlike other idols, money can squeeze its way in without you even realizing it was there. No one in the middle of committing murder thinks, "Oh, I think this might be murder." They know that it is. But you see, money's different. It squeezes its way in without you even realizing that it might be a problem. And after hearing this story about this rich young ruler, this well-respected and looked-up-to good guy, we should respond exactly the way that the people do in the story. What do they ask Jesus in verse 26? Someone yell it out.
Who then can be saved?
Exactly. Because surely if anyone could be saved, it would be this good guy, right? Yet we see that something's standing in the way of him following Jesus. His sin, his idol, his money. Yet Jesus responds in verse 27 amazingly, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And then we meet Zacchaeus in chapter 19, verse 1. Seemingly the opposite of the rich young ruler. He's a tax collector. If people thought the rich young ruler deserved to be saved, then this guy was the least likely, the lowest of the low. But this short man is a surprising little fellow, and he does some very surprising things. Now, I know a different surprising little fellow. I play rugby with him. We'll call him Gary. Yes, like nice Gary, but rugby. And you see, Gary is a rather small middle-aged man and Gary does some very surprising things which surprise a lot of people. You see, Gary tackles people like a rhino. Despite his size, he drops people twice as big as him like a sack of potatoes. But Gary, he's like a loaded shotgun waiting to punish anyone unlucky enough to run near him. He's a very surprising little dude. You would never think it when you saw him. And you see, Zacchaeus, he's a small man who does some very surprising things which surprise a lot of people. Now, Zacchaeus, he's not just a tax collector. It says he's a chief tax collector. Now, we learnt in Hank's talk that a tax collector, they are the scum of the earth. They take money from their own people to give to the enemies, the Romans, and they ask for extra money so they can put it in their pockets. They were so hated by the people that they were considered unclean. They were considered sinners. That's what they would call them. And everyone knew it. And this guy, he is the head honcho. He's the chief scumbag among scumbags. And Zacchaeus, more than being a scumbag, he is vertically challenged. He's short, and everyone hates him. Poor guy. But why would someone become a tax collector? Why would someone go down this line of profession? No Jewish child ever woke up in the morning and said, "Mom or Dad, when I grow up, I want to be a tax collector." They never said that. You were hated by everyone. You steal from your own people. The only reason that someone would take this job up is for money. It pays well. Zacchaeus is a lover of money. See, Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler, despite being on opposite ends of the popularity scale, they're very similar. They both love money. Yet Zacchaeus has obviously heard about this guy, Jesus. Likely, he's heard about some of the stories which we heard about this week, some of the stories we heard about before from those giving the recap. But you see, large crowds would come to Jesus, and this is a problem for Zacchaeus because he is vertically challenged. He can't stand at the back and look over everyone. And in fact, everyone hates him, so no one's going to let him squeeze through to get front row seats to see Jesus. This is a problem. And for the second time in our series in Luke, we see someone do something crazy to see Jesus. In Ben's talk, we saw four friends carrying a paralyzed man, lowered him through a hole in the roof so that he could see Jesus. And in this story, we see a short man climb a tree. In this culture where honor and reputation was everything, this is a very strange thing for a man to do. Children play and climb in trees, not respectable men. And Jesus, he gets to this tree where Zacchaeus is in, he's in it, and he knows he's in there. He looks up. He somehow doesn't laugh at him, but instead in verse 5, read along with me, chapter 19, verse 5, Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." What on earth is going on? Jesus wants to eat with the chief scumbag. That's how the people watching respond. They're shocked that Jesus would associate and be the guest of a sinner. How could this guy be saved? But then something remarkable happens. Keep reading with me from verse 8. It says, "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.'" Zacchaeus, he's not like the rich young ruler. Because when he meets Jesus, money is no longer in his heart as his idol. And once he does that, he removes this idol, he sees money for what it really is, just money and an opportunity to be generous. And so he gives it to the poor and back to those that he has stolen from. And then this leads to Jesus saying that salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. This man is saved. This is the same thing that the rich young ruler asks Jesus for in the last chapter. Salvation, eternal life. But Zacchaeus is the one who gets it. Why? Did he earn it from his generous act? No, I don't think so. Jesus says salvation has come. You see, Jesus finds him. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He finds this lost man in a tree, and the man is saved. And this transforms him to do something that previously he would never have done. You see, he didn't save himself. He was saved by welcoming Jesus into his life and following him. And this leads to him being generous, because Jesus has pushed out this idol of money. It's been replaced. And Jesus takes his place in Zacchaeus' heart. The thing that was standing in the way of him being saved was gone. Because he knows that he was bad. He knows he's a bad guy who needs saving. And Jesus finds him. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Even Zacchaeus can be saved. Once when I was in England as a kid, I think I was 6 or 7, I was with my family and we were walking around these amazing gardens, these huge gardens, potentially outside this big palace. And the gardens, they were beautiful, they were huge. And along the course of this trip, my sister ran away. I think she was grumpy. Potentially I annoyed her. That was definitely more likely. But she's run off. And she's lost. We look for ages. It's been hours since we last saw her. And we're running through these gardens trying to find her. The sun's going down. It's getting dark. We're very worried. You know when you're a kid and you're like, haha, we can't find her. But then it gets to the point where you're like, oh, this is bad. And I could tell this was bad. We could not find her. And then we come up to this bend and we hear footsteps and she sprints around the corner. Relief. She was lost and then she was found. Now from these two stories which we've just heard and explored, there are two characters who are both lost. One thinks he's a pretty good guy and the community does as well. One knows he's a bad guy, and the community tells him so, but they're both sinful and need Jesus to find them and save them. You see, they are lost. Their lives are lost. Their hearts are full of idols which cannot fill them. They need God to find them and save them. They need Him in their hearts and to provide ultimate and eternal satisfaction, meaning, and hope. Zacchaeus finds it in Jesus the Savior. And Jesus fills his heart and pushes out his old idols. And the challenge for us is the same as it was for them. You see, we are lost. We are sinful and in need of saving. Is there something in our lives which is standing in the way of us following Jesus and being saved? For the rich young ruler, his money was his god or idol. What is it for you? Is it money? Spending it, accumulating it in shares or bank accounts or land? I think whilst this passage in particular shows us the dangers of wealth and money, it reveals to us a bigger heart condition, which all our hearts have. We all have idols, things in our lives fighting for our attention and to worship them as gods. Things which stand in God's place in our hearts, which separate us from Him. What is it for you? Is it a relationship? Friends? A girlfriend? A boyfriend? A husband? A wife? A family? Is it a sexual desire or pornography? Is it a career? It starts with good grades, then a good ATAR, a good university, a good job, a better career. Is it reputation? Is it being the cool kid which everyone wants to be like, that one that everybody looks up to? Maybe your idol is being a good person. Bit like the rich young ruler. You see, he thought he was a good person. Maybe you want to be like the one who always obeys their parents and teachers, who always obeys the rules, who always does the right thing. Is it sport? Is it mountain biking? Is it soccer? Is it netball or basketball? Is it food? Is it coffee or baking? There was some good caramel sauce this morning, which people didn't realize actually came back from Old Benalbo. But you see, Tim Keller has a book, and in it he says the Bible shows us that our hearts are idol factories. You get that right? Think of a factory, conveyor belt. It's just producing idols. He says in his book, Counterfeit Gods, that we think that idols are bad things. But that is almost never the case, he says. The greater the good, the more likely we are to expect that it can satisfy our deepest needs and hopes. Anything can serve as a counterfeit god, especially the very best things in life. Is there something standing in the way of you following Jesus? Something which is a good thing, which you've turned into a God thing? You see, we need to deny these idols, to think of them for what they truly are, and follow Jesus. Leave everything and follow Him like the tax collector did. But you see, our hearts might say to us, Jesus doesn't deserve for me to give up these things to follow Him. The price, the cost, it's too high. He doesn't deserve for me to follow Him. He doesn't deserve for me to do that for Him. What has He ever done for me? That's what our hearts might say. You see, giving up our idols is hard. It's impossible for humans unless Jesus finds us like Zacchaeus. You see, we have sinful hearts. And we need saving, saving from our hearts, our desires, saving from ourselves. And the key to understanding why Jesus can be at the center of our hearts and the factor of following Him, which might cost us, is worth it, giving up these idols and these sinful desires, It's all found in knowing the price which Jesus paid for us. You see, Jesus, who was rich, became poor for us, so that we, who are poor, could become rich. You see, Jesus was in heaven with God, yet he came down, became a human being. He was hated, rejected by everyone, and he died a horrible, shameful death on the cross in our place, so that we could be welcomed into God's family. You see, he paid the price for our sins so that we're clean before God. See, the price he paid for us, he didn't pay 10%. He didn't pay 50%. He gave his whole life for us. His whole purpose in coming down was to die for us so that we could become rich and be with God in heaven for eternity. You see, Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler, they were both rich on this earth. Yet Zacchaeus meets Jesus and he becomes richer than he ever was before, because he was poor. He was lost. Yet Jesus found him and saved him. And so he became rich. Rich in love. Rich as he would share in Jesus' inheritance. Rich through being called God's child. And this is something that we're invited into also. We are poor. We are lost. Rowan, stand up for me. What's it say on the back of the shirt? Someone else, not you. Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. It says that on the back of all these shirts. Why? Because we are lost. We need saving. If we believe in Jesus and follow him, we can become rich. Not with money, but being eternally known and loved by the Father as children. What could be better than that? And receiving this gift. This gospel message has the power to push out the idols which fill our hearts. This new affection can fill you, can eternally satisfy you. Jesus, who was rich, became poor for us so that we might be rich. Yes, we'll have to give up our idols, which are standing in God's place in our hearts. That's the cost of discipleship. Yet it's nothing compared to the price which Jesus paid so that we might be welcomed into God's family. And it's nothing compared to the reward which we receive through Jesus. On my way home from youth, there was a large white man with no shirt on stopping me from getting home. Now, I didn't run him over. It wasn't a, oh, can't go around him, can't go under him, I'm going to have to go through him. It wasn't that situation. I didn't run him over. I managed to sneak past him without damaging him or him damaging my ute too badly. And I made it home. In my life, in my personal life, there were many things standing in the way of me believing in Jesus. Things like girls, sport, work, money, and the list goes on. But I learned that Jesus can satisfy, and he is better. And I'll struggle with these desires for the rest of my life as these things claw for my attention, claw for my life. Yet, we can remind each other of what Jesus has done for us out of love and the inheritance which we receive through faith until we make it there. Well, this week have you seen, well, this week we've seen lots of people who have met Jesus. We've seen their different responses to him. Have you met Jesus this week? Do you just want to grab him, Hold him in your arms like Simeon did, or Richie and his dance that he did for us, where he just shook him around. Do you know that God came to save us? Do you know that you are sick and in need of saving? Do you know what it looks like to follow him? Do you go to Jesus for help and fall at his feet? Our hearts are not good. We need saving from our sin. Is there something standing in the way of you following Jesus and being saved? Might you consider having Jesus as your God and following him right now? You see, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came for us out of love so that we might be saved. I hope you've met Jesus this week, and I hope that you might continue to meet him anew each and every day and know him more and more. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you save us, that you find us, you meet us as we are lost. Thank you that you save us from our sin. Help us to not have idols that stand in the way of us following you. Help us to see them for what they really are and to see you for who you really are, our Savior, our God, the only one who can truly satisfy. I pray that you might help us to all know this truth and that you might grow us all as we meet Jesus. Amen.